So this is our good friend Ali Coleman from Page Six, one of our favorite guests. And he's working on some incredible stories today about Khloe Kardashian, Jennifer Lopez, and Addison Rae that we've been dying to talk to him about. Hi, Ali.
Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
Good. Yeah. So I want to start with the Khloe Kardashian story because I reposted your story on our Twitter page and I got locked out of Twitter for the first time in my life. I've been on Twitter since 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. We need to come up with some conspiracy theories about that.
I mean, it's like, how powerful is Kris Jenner that the second I posted, and it was the picture that you guys posted of Khloe Kardashian in your story. So but immediately I literally hit tweet. The second I hit it, it came right up and it said, Anthony's going to share it so our Twitch audience can see it because we're live on Twitch right now. So yeah, so this is the photo that I posted, actually that you guys posted. I got it from Page Six. I got it from you guys. Mm-hmm. So explain this picture of Khloe Kardashian and why everybody's so upset about it, why they're upset about it, and why we got locked out of Twitter because of it.
So Khloe Kardashian is, you know, a big fan of Photoshop. If you look at, as are all the Kardashians and most other celebrities, Khloe in particular is kind of a big Photoshop user. And if you look on Khloe's Instagram page, typically you get not so much Khloe, but sort of artist's impression of what the sort of platonic ideal of Khloe might look like, right? And then over the weekend, the sort of unthinkable happened, which was that accidentally a picture, you know, snuck past this kind of, you know, this kind of infrastructure of her Instagram, and a picture of Khloe looking like a normal human being,
right,
got into the world. Obviously a disaster. I mean, panic stations all around. And the family literally, you know, issued legal threats to people who were posting this picture. And she looks great. You know, she doesn't look like we're used to seeing her, but she looks great.
Right.
And, you know, it's strange. It's kind of like the, you know, the old, like, Barbra Streisand effect thing, right? Like, you know, if you just, which is to say that, like, you know, if you engage with bad press, it's only going to get bigger and more people are going to see it. It's kind of like the Instagram version of that, right? Like, everybody has now seen this picture because they,
right,
because they desperately wanted people not to see it.
Right. But she looks like a real person. So why wouldn't they spin it and say, you know what? Yes, of course, you know she's Photoshopped. You as a fan, Photoshop. I mean, I am all about the filters. Like, who among us, I mean, maybe not you boys, but certainly women, like, we are all about the filters. I no longer get Botox because I have filters on Instagram. Like, I have bangs and I have filters and it saved me a ton of money. So I don't understand why they didn't take this opportunity and say, yeah, you know what? Guess what? She's a real person. She had a baby and she still looks kick ass.
I think the answer is that you should pitch yourself as Khloe's publicist, because that is the right response, right? Like, that's the thing you do. You say, I thought I looked particularly great in this picture, and so I wanted to share it with you all. Not like, please, turn away, avert your eyes.
Right, which is so weird. So Anthony is now putting up on our Twitch page, we've been locked out. Your account has been locked. And it says, we've determined that you have violated the Twitter rules. Oh. And I'm guessing it's because we reposted the photo that you guys posted. So how come you guys get to post the photo and I can't? I just tweeted that you were going to be on the show talking about it. That's all I said. Like, Ali Coleman, Page Six, going to be talking about this photo that they posted. Here it is. Immediately, I'm locked out. Why? How come? How can you guys post it?
We posted a link from Reddit. Somehow it's still up on Reddit. And so I don't think I don't know is the answer to that. I'm not sure why Twitter would have
that is the answer, right? Before we get to the Jennifer Lopez story, which we have to dish on that because I'm fascinated by what's going on with her. Anthony last week was talking about, did you see the story about Cardi B, how she was like clapping back at all her haters that were like, you know, I don't pay for music, I don't pay for airplay. Did you see all that?
You know, I did. I'd missed that particular Cardi B clapback. There were so many clapbacks.
Right. She's every day. She has a new clapback. Job. Yeah.
To keep up with her.
It's like a round of applause. It's so much clapback. But the no, I hadn't seen it until you sent it, and then. But yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, I thought you'd be interested because Anthony used to work for Atlantic Records, and it was his job to actually. Well, Anthony, you say it because this was your job.
Yeah, it was my job to buy spins and ads and commercials for that artist to break that artist.
So this is fascinating to me because I, you know, obviously you guys are radio guys. I don't know really very much about that industry. I thought you literally couldn't do that. Wasn't there like a whole scandal about that, like the Payola scandal or something like that? Like, I thought you couldn't buy airtime.
No, you can get around that by buying a commercial promoting that. Let's say I will come out with a new commercial that promotes Cardi's new album, but inside that commercial that I bought is the tone that generates that spin for that song. So the more spins a song gets on a station, it goes up the charts.
Huh. So payola is bribery. It says that, you know, if I pay you this amount of money, you'll just play the song, straight up play it. Mm-hmm. Or if you want X, Y, and Z from my label again, if you want these other artists, you've got to play this artist's music. That's payola. That you cannot do. Mm-hmm. So what Anthony is saying, so every song has a tone in it, and BDS is the system that picks up that tone and tells the industry how many spins that song had that week. So Atlantic Records figured out how to take artists like Cardi B, have a commercial like, hey, we have this new artist, Cardi B, her new album. Here's a song, Bodak Yellow. And they play the part of Bodak Yellow that has the tone, and that gets them a spin. Yeah, yeah, so it's brilliant.
If you buy it on Z100, then it gets that one spin when you play that commercial. So you go in at the beginning of the week and you say, I'm going to buy 100 commercials on Z100 this week. And then that song goes up the chart.
That's so sneaky, you almost feel like they should just be allowed to do it. Like, good for you guys.
Right. And the thing that I felt bad, because poor Cardi B was like, you know, I don't buy spins. I don't pay for airplay. The artists don't know about this. It's not like the artists are complicit. It's not like they say to the label, so how many spins are you guys buying this week?
No.
They literally don't know. No, they just suddenly they see that they're getting attention, and they assume it's them.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So I thought you'd find that interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Jennifer Lopez. So what's the news on her today? Where is she with Alex Rodriguez? Are they broken up? Are they together? Are they in therapy? What's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you believe. I mean, the whole thing has just been such an odd story. We actually broke that story that they were that they'd broken up. And it seemed like, you know, as these things go, it was a cut and dry, you know, they've broken up. That's all there is to it. You know, we'd done all the kind of due diligence we always do, and it was pretty clear. And then all of a sudden, we published the story, and they come out and they say, "Oh no, we're working through some things, but we're together." So and they've been projecting that they've been, that by now they've been away together, and everything seems to be going well. So there was an interesting thing today, which was that InStyle came out with a story, about a cover story about Jennifer Lopez that really, really, really conspicuously didn't mention Alex Rodriguez at all. And so conspicuously that it had literally like quotes that her ex, Ben Affleck, who's an ex of hers, somebody else, one of our other exes, there's a few of them. I forget, but
I think
Mark Anthony, maybe.
Mark Anthony was the other one who, yeah, they both were talking about what a hard worker she is.
Yeah, but not a word about A-Rod, which lent another interesting thing to this story, which it suggests that, you know, because this story had a pretty long lead time, it suggests that things have been going badly for kind of longer than even we really had thought.
Right.
Think about
when that interview was done, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we think a while back, and it seems like her team may have been trying to kind of edge him out of the picture for a while. Sources close to that whole situation, I should add, say that isn't the case, and that they just, you know, wanted to not focus on her current relationship, but I don't know why you would want to do that. But anyway, that's the latest today.
Who's the bigger nightmare in that relationship? Him or her?
In what?
Like, do you think Jennifer Lopez is like a great girlfriend and he was lucky to have had her and he screwed it up because he's the nightmare? Or do you think that she was just too high maintenance for him? Like, what do you think really went wrong there?
I think it's probably not a much fun dating A-Rod, I would say. I mean, you know, look, he never denied anything. You know, there was the whole part of this story where he was supposed to have been having some kind of digital, somewhat inappropriate relationship, probably somebody was engaged to another woman, with a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. And he never denied that. She said it on the record. So, you know, that's probably not a great thing to have going on in your relationship. So I'd say that counts probably more in the it was him, not her direction.
I said from the beginning I thought he was too dumb for her. I think that she is really like becoming more of a woman and a mom and an artist. Like, I think all the things we thought about her back in the day with like Geely, when people were like, is this, what's going on here? I think she's really overcome a lot of that. And I think she's definitely developed and changed and grown. And from the beginning, I was like, he is way too dumb for her.
It's funny you say that. I remember there was a story a few years ago. He dated briefly, I'm going to blank on her name, an executive, but I think Apple. And the executive's mom told the New York Times in an interview basically exactly that. She was like, he's a nice guy, really dumb.
Like, wow.
He was never going to, you know, this kind of great mind of the exec is not going to, you know, last long in this relationship with this guy.
It's amazing. Like, I'm not going to say who, but I will tell you this, Ollie. So I dated this guy. His family is super famous. If I told you his last name, you would know it immediately. And he was gorgeous. And on our very first date, I was telling him that my friends and I guess Halloween was coming up. And he's like, what are you guys doing for Halloween? And I said, oh, no, we're like bah humbug. Like, we're just going to have our own little private bah humbug party. So my girlfriend and I are sitting on the couch, like watching horror movies or whatever. And my doorbell rings and it's him and a bunch of his friends. And they're all dressed in like Hawaiian and they have pina colada mix. They're like, we're here for your Bahamba party. And I'm like, what? Like, first of all, where Bahamba, like, where does he think that is? What does he think that is? Does he think I meant Bahamas? Like, why would I be having a Bahama party? It was so confusing. And I was like, oh wow, he's dumb.
Listen, if you're gorgeous and from a famous family, why bother being smart? Like, what a waste of your energy! Like, you've got so much else going for you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, that's Anthony understands that. He's
what?
That's fine with his looks.
So I think it was because those two were stuck in a house for the past year with the lockdown, and they just got on each other's nerves.
Also, I mean, you know, that could go for pretty much all of us, right?
Yeah, that's I know any relationship that has survived COVID, like, that's more power to you. That is a good, solid relationship. That was a real relationship tester this year,
mm-hmm.
You know, for all of us. So, Ali, the third story that you were working on today, I thought this was interesting, your Addison Rae story. So explain to everybody, because not everybody understands, knows all the TikTok stars yet. So tell everybody who Addison Rae is and tell us all about her.
So Addison Rae is pretty much certainly the biggest star to come out of this kind of TikTok phenomenon, right? Yeah. She's really kind of the first person to break through that barrier of has a lot of followers into this is a genuinely very, very famous person who might, you know, be invited on the Tonight Show or whatever, like some kind of old fashioned metric of somebody being famous. She kind of falls into that mm-hmm. as well as being kind of the, a digital star. She's got literally millions of followers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I got a tip which I found very interesting, which was that she or somebody on her team had been She'd been in New York, and somebody on her team had been tipping off the paparazzi to where she is, about where she is, right? Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is not news, right? Like, right. That's most of them, you know. What's interesting to me about that is that she's sort of framed as like I was saying, this kind of brand new type of celebrity who's leveraging all these new digital things to, you know, to promote her own stardom, and she's the, you know, producer of the content, and she's in control and all that kind of stuff. But it was interesting to me that even that kind of person is still relying on these kind of old tricks from the old kind of, you know, people going back as far as like Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. Like that, right. That was the MO of that kind of wave of celebrity who were, they were leveraging when the paparazzi boom was really happening in the early mid 2000s, and that was how they were kind of climbing up the kind of fame ladder. And I find it fascinating that even with the new brand of celebrities is still kind of, you know, worth doing. You know.
Which is so funny, because I remember I was working at Pix here in New York at the time, and we would get a fax in the morning or an email, like, here's where Britney Spears will be. We'd send a camera, and then she'd be like, oh, how did you find me? Oh, my God, what are you people doing here? It's like, how do we know that you were shopping at Barney's at 3 o'clock? Because that's what I have the email right here, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it worked for those guys. I mean, it probably worked a little too well for Britney in terms of the paparazzi, but Yeah, that's how they did it, and that's how apparently they're still doing it.
But do you think the whole thing that happened with her on Jimmy Fallon? So, if you don't know, Addison Rae is sort of known for dancing, like that's her thing, that she does all these like dances and whatever on TikTok, and she's amazing. So Jimmy Fallon had her on, and they were doing all these different dances. You know, he would like show with the dances, and then she would do it, and people got really upset with her because a lot of the dances were originated by African American dancers, and here she was like this white girl doing it, and people were really upset about that. Do you think that hurt her or helped her? Does that publicity ever go in a good direction?
I don't know. I also missed that controversy. I didn't. Again, there's so much controversy to go around, but so I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd have to check the particulars.
But I guess negative press is really what I'm asking. Like, is negative press ever, does that ever help an artist, a star, a musician, an actor?
I mean, I think it really depends who you are. Yeah, I mean, look, if your objective is to sheer increase in the amount of fame you have, then sure, because it's press and press.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for example, if you think about, like, you know, Ray J has got divorced like 4 times this year because, you know, and every time he's on his way to the courthouse, they announce that they're about to get divorced again. And, you know, I remember a time when like getting divorced was kind of like a bad thing. You know,
right, you hid from the cameras. You didn't like wave it, yeah.
And now it's just another kind of like, you know, pawn in the press game. So
right. And so Ali, the last question I have for you, I've been obsessed with Travis Barker dating Kourtney Kardashian, and here's why. Because every time he goes on his Instagram, he's always like, look at this note where she says, I love you. Oh my God, look at this tattoo I'm getting that she wrote, this cute little thing, and I'm tattooing it on my hip. And I feel like he's constantly asking us to give him the props that maybe she's not giving him. Like, I feel like anytime you have to hang your relationship up on Instagram or Twitter, anywhere on social media, especially early on, it's one of two things going on here. Either he feels very insecure because, let's face it, she's famous, she's gorgeous, he's known her for a long time. I think he probably can't believe his luck right now. Or do you think that this is a total Kris Jenner joint?
Well, I think, first of all, that you should be Khloe Kardashian's publicist and also Travis Barker's therapist. You could offer yourself as a package deal to the Kardashians. I'm going to fix both of these problems at once.
They need me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't really see Well, I was going to say, I don't really see what advantage if it is a Kris Jenner Machiavellian operation. I'm not really sure exactly what the benefit is, except actually now you mentioned it, maybe, you know, it to distract from the kind of mess of the Kanye situation and say, look, here's a daughter of mine who's in a super serious, stable relationship with somebody who really likes her and doesn't talk about her, like, you know, most, you know, intimate secrets in presidential campaigns. So yeah, that could be a pretty good reason for it.
That's a good point. Right. I forgot about that. See, it worked.